Amen. They get here early. They practice. Glory to God. They sacrifice so much. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I've been on this series of purity. Hopefully it's been a beneficial for everyone here. How many of us, we need to be pure? How many of us, without holiness, no man will see the Lord? It isn't self-righteousness. It's the righteousness that comes by faith through Christ Jesus. But the church needs to look different than the world. I said the church needs to look different than the world. How many of those, the bride sticks out in a wedding party? Isn't that true? There's only really one bride, or really should be only one bride in the mixed. Say amen. How many knows that she is set apart? She's different. How many knows the church is the bride of Christ? If we try to fit in with the world, we don't even have the dress on, as it were. I know I'm a man, but I'm not the bride then. Come on. Wouldn't it be confusing if you went to the wedding and there was 25 brides there and you didn't know which one was going to be married? How many knows that Jesus is married to one bride, the church? We need to look like the bride of Christ. And truly, if the bride loves the bridegroom, she keeps herself for him. Amen. Say amen. Amen. She doesn't have to wonder where he is. How many knows our bridegroom is true? How many knows the bride needs to be true too? Oh, come on. In Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 12. In King James, it says, somebody say, beware.
Beware.
Some says, take heed. How many knows that we need to take heed, brethren, lest any of you, say any of you. Does that sound like any of you? Any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily, as it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. When I look today, our hearts are vulnerable. And we need to keep it guarded with our Lord. It's possible to depart from the living God. Say amen, amen. One translation says, beware, brethren, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. Now, we've all seen beware of dog signs, or beware of this, or beware of the owner. I mean, that's just as much. The truth is that it's set up there so you can be on guard for what may be there. For us as believers, we have to say, you know what? I want to make sure an evil heart of unbelief doesn't settle in. When we walk unpure, we set ourselves up for a heart that's in unbelief or disbelief. And then we open the door to receive something God never intended, sin. How many here have ever been backslidden before? How did you get to that place? How many of us, it was a slow, gradual process, and then you found yourself way over here. True? How many of us, it was a move of God to bring that back? All of us need to beware lest any of us have an evil heart of unbelief. It's like we don't set out for that area. Just like I preached one time in Atlanta. There was a big homeless, not homeless, it was more like a big shelter. And the shelter had both men and women in it. But it had several hundred people there. And I had a message that was this. None of you started out in life thinking you were going to be here. And the response from the people was pretty overwhelming. I spoke a message on, some of you have families that don't even know you're here. You need to contact them, tell them you're still alive. I had several men and women come up to me saying, you know what, I'm going to do that. My family doesn't even know I'm here. But none of them, not one of them, raised their hand. How many of you, when you were a child, thought you were going to be in a shelter when you got older? Thought you may be homeless or on the streets? Not one of them did. Like all of us in here, none of us have a heart saying, hey, I'm going to depart from the Lord. But if we don't keep our hearts set on Him, if purity isn't in that portion, we can have that too. Just like when we ended up backslidden, we started a road down that road. I'm here to say, we need to go back to those places. We need to love God greater than anything else in life. He needs to be number one no matter what. Now I'm going to say this as bold. Above our families, above our mates, Jesus needs to be our first love. He needs to be our first love. Everything, every other love after that then falls in place. I can't love my wife the way I should unless I love the Lord first. He teaches us how to love. He shows us by example. When I look at backsliding, it always starts in the heart. It starts in this area. And it's amazing that we can be on fire 1 week for the Lord, and by the end of that next week, we can be cooled down. Okay, four, you believe me. How many of us, we need to stoke up those fires. Now, have you ever built a campfire before? Who in here? How many have ever built a fire, not intentional to burn somebody's house down, but some reason you built a fire? The tendency of every fire is to go out. So you got to work that fire. You got to put fuel upon it. You got to keep it stoked up. No matter what you're burning, it's going to require effort. True? It's no different in our spiritual life. I want to be burning bright on a daily basis. But there are times that I have to stoke that fire up. It seems like at night it may burn down a little bit, but you know what? You can restoke that up. There are still coals that are burning. Amen? And it doesn't take long to put it on there. Boom, it's going again. I want a life like that. How many knows Jesus had a life like that? He didn't have to backslide. Neither do we. We don't have to depart from the Lord. We can stay with Him all our lives. Like, not turning back is a powerful thing. Do you know faithfulness in the kingdom is unbelievably powerful? Say amen. Look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily. That means tomorrow, I want you to encourage somebody tomorrow. There is somebody you can call. There is somebody you can text. There is somebody you can speak to. There is somebody that you can encourage tomorrow. Tomorrow, somebody needs some encouragement. It says, exhort one another daily. Listen to me, you may step into a situation where somebody's had a bad day. It's good to hear, amen? Now, for Ron here, there are times I'll call him at 4 and 5 in the morning, amen? I know he's on his way to work, but I know he's up early. Hallelujah, I hope I never wake him up, but the truth is I know he starts early. And we have a time to pray on the phone. It isn't long, but how many of us that the Lord knows? How many ever had God ever place somebody on your heart? Pray for them. Yeah. Amen? And if you can bring an encouraging word to them, speak a word. It makes all the difference in the world. Think of Jesus when he walked. He spoke the truth in love, but he still encouraged people. Do you know God laughs? He has a sense of humor. Look at us. There's a lot to laugh about. Hallelujah. Verse 13, but exhort one another, somebody say, daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I've learned if I keep the fire stoked, the tendency of moving away from sin is so much greater. And if I'm encouraging others, how many of I myself get encouraged? It's like it keeps you in that perpetual motion, like, I need to be doing this. Amen? And then sooner or later, you'll reap what you sow. Like many of you, when I fell and I hurt my ribs, I got a lot of love calls and support. I appreciate it. I read all those. I read those here. I couldn't get to the phone. I listened to those messages. I mean, that matters to me as a pastor. I appreciate it dearly. I know I'm loved. I thank you for it. I want everyone to feel that love. I never want somebody to feel like they're isolated, even though they're in the midst of a crowd. Amen? Church needs to be a place where if somebody comes in, how are you doing? Even if you've seen them 1,000 times, how are you doing? Because people matter. And you know, when you build somebody up like that, it encourages them to keep going through. How many ever had a day where it just all fell apart? Amen? How many have a day like you just wish you would have stayed in bed? It'd have been better just to stay in bed. Okay, a few of you in here. But see, we have to get up. We have to face those things. But I've learned that my circumstance cannot dictate how I'm going to be that day. Even if it all falls apart, you know what? It's still temporary. I don't want my day to dictate how I'm going to be. The joy of the Lord is my what? How come we hear it, but we don't live it? How come we hear it, but there's no experience with it? Then, Lord, I'm going to experience that. Amen? Then, Lord, I'm going to be that encourager. I don't want an evil heart of unbelief to set in. Now, if you take notes, in Deuteronomy 11, verse 16 and 17, it speaks of the same type of passage. It says, take heed to yourself, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside to serve other gods and worship them. Come on, we can be deceived. When you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. You can't detect it. It's all of a sudden, hey, all of a sudden you go, hey, I'm deceived. No, you're deceived. You're walking in it. It's when the truth comes in that it reveals it to you, man, I've missed the boat. Like the first time you got saved, how many are glad that you got saved? Man, you were on a road that was going to hell and you didn't even know it. Quickly. And God stepped in. He opened up your eyes. That's the problem with deception. You don't know. And listen, as believers, we're the last people that should be deceived. But an evil heart of unbelief clouds it out. We start to justify our actions. And all of a sudden, the enemy starts to whisper words. And he gets you off track. Be cautious of those conversations. I'm going to speak a word to you prophetically. Be careful of those little conversations, those whispers, because they divide friends. Amen? Look, Lord, I'm going to follow you. When the enemy came to Jesus, he always used a perverted word of God. It sounded great in the natural, but it was still perverted. It was sown in an area of discord. Amen? I mean, we need to fight for the unity and the bond of peace. If you want to know what I'm about people. I love people. I do. If a pastor doesn't love people, he shouldn't be doing the job. Say amen. I'm not trying to lift myself up. That's a reality. But how about us as people? We need to love one another. It should be part of our character and makeup. Amen? When I look in Jeremiah 17, verse 5, it says this, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes man his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. When I look today, how many have trusted in man more than the Lord? Now, Amber and I, my wife, had a conversation on Sunday. Job's friends, when he was speaking to Job, hey, you must have sinned, you must have did this, the words they used were pretty weighty. There was some truth in what they were sharing, but they were sharing out of a human experience instead of divine encounter with the king. Even if it sounds good, how many of you need to hear from the Lord in that situation? If you look at the end of the book, when Job finally saw the Lord, he understood all those things. And when Job prayed for his friends, God healed it all. Isn't that cool? How many of you said we need to trust in the whole counsel of God? We can't just make the arm of flesh our strength. Too many people have departed from the faith by trusting in man. How many of you need to follow the Lord? Trust in him. Lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding is like a cardboard cutout of you. It may look good, but you can't put any pressure on it. Is that good? A wise man in his heart always keeps what is right in his heart. He starts to look and say, God, I want to control it wisely. I want to start putting my hand to what needs to be, to the plow. It's easy to fill our hearts with everything else. More than ever, we're bombarded on every corner, aren't we? True? Every corner, it's like whatever it is, we can go in a vegetated state easily and just tune out to whatever. But we need to lock into our God. I want to encourage you that you have a daily regimen of the Word of God because it comes totally against everything in the flesh. Amen? We got it, Lord, I need that steady diet of that. Now for me, early in the morning is my best time for me to read the Word of God. For me, it's quiet, not much going on. Birds aren't even making racket yet. And I can have a time where like I can just hear and I can just listen. And it's kind of a calming place for me, amen? To me, heaven's like that time you're really tired and you get into bed and you pull the covers up and you're like, oh, this is so great, amen? To me, that's the beginning of heaven for me. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 2 says this, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a foolish man's heart is at his left. Lord, let me have the right heart and do the right thing. Because all of us had times we were foolish and turned aside. When we turn aside, listen to me, we don't just stop there, we keep going, don't we? You ever notice that temptation is so filled when you get off the path? Soon you can find yourself doing things you never thought you would or you've been set free from. It's time to return to the Lord. Amen? All of us need to consider what God has done for us and let that move us. He's been a good God. Amen? He's been good. Hasn't He been good? How many ever reflect on how good God is? What has He done for you? How many has He done great things for you? What's upon your lips right now? What has God done for you? What has God done for you? What can you recall like, man, God's done this for me? There's something about testifying. Took you out of the gutter. I use these guys as an example. Look what God's done for them and their family. When they came here, they were broken. They were honest. They said, Lord, if you're real, I want it. They were had the suspicious eye going for a while. Those people real? Do they love the Lord? Am I being honest? And then God just touched the whole family. I mean, that's real. Then Dawn says, I want to testify. God has set me free from here. I want the church to pray. How many of us, that was a start of a miraculous change. Sometimes we hide so much that we kind of keep it in and we never deal with it. Well, you know what? God's good for all of us, true? That may not be your testimony, but what your testimony is just as real. It's real because it's you. We need to keep that area. Lord, I want to be wise. Now, don't go back to your sin. How many of us, it's still empty. It's still lonely. The church needs to have a standard of righteousness. I personally believe this, that most Christians, if they really see what they can become, want to be that. But most of them don't even see that potential. They don't believe who they can really be. I want to be all that God wants me to be. Amen? That's not a military slogan. That's a God slogan. God, I want to be just like you. I want the fire to burn bright. Amen? Now, I remember one time we were at a campfire and my wife has got her feet next to the fire. She's got a pair of tennis shoes on. She said, oh, this is so warm. It's so warm. All of a sudden, my feet are getting so hot. They're getting so hot, they started to melt on her feet. I mean, that's hot, amen? Well, here's the truth about God. You can get so close to the fire that only thing it consumes is the flesh. But your spirit is just on fire for Him. I want to be that way. I want to burn brightly. Not just a little bit. I want to be an inferno, thank God. No matter how wet the wood is, bless God, it's going to sizzle and it's going to burn quickly. Because even a wet log will burn if the fire's hot enough. Hallelujah. We don't need any more wet logs in the church. I need some infernos going on. That's good preaching today, thank you. When I consider all the Lord's done, it should move my heart closer to Him. Have a reflection in your time, especially when everything goes south and everything just stinks. Have a reflection how good God is. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. Consider what great things He has done for you. Lord, I want to do that, God. Because in this world, sometimes it goes south, and some people may not treat you like you should. Some people who should won't, but your God will always be good to you. He'll always be gracious to you. Sometimes that's all you got in your corner. Hallelujah. But if the Lord be for you, who can be against you? Who can come against those things? God, let me have that character within me. I need to think and consider all the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Some of the greatest times come when you and God get together. You begin to have that time of thanksgiving. Listen, if it's outside, you can find that place of thanksgiving, fine. If it's in a park, if it's in the woods, if it's in your prayer closet, find that place where you and God can be alone, where you and God can get together. Amen? And with that, you'll find something great. Even when it comes to our offerings, they need to be done from the heart. Exodus 25 verse 2 says, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. For everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take that offering. Now God will accept it from a grouch, but the truth is, be willing. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, let each one give as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I don't believe the Lord does this. Oh, I got to give you oxygen today. Oh, half of you I like, half of you I don't. How many of us the Lord doesn't do that? Say amen. Come on, he gives it freely. He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. The difference is that you can know who he is. One day their life will be finished. But you know what? Yours will continue on with him. That's why sometimes I really, when I see so-called celebrities, because I really don't know any. I really don't. After I met Jesus, there is no celebrities. He's King of Kings. Now, you may be good at a certain thing. That's cool. I can accept that. But he's the only celebrity I know. He is King of Kings. That's my standard in that area. But sometimes I'm really like, really hurt sometimes when I see you have so much in this earth, but that's going to fade away. Then what's next? When he told the rich men, one day you'll weep and howl over the misery. And then you'd say in your heart, what would you exchange right now to be out of there? I mean, knows that we need to be sober in our thinking. I don't mind you blessed here. I want you to be blessed here. Never let your blessing consume you. Never trust in your uncertain riches. Amen? Come on. Do you know in Revelation it says one day, your gold will be cankered. Your gold will be worthless one day. Revelation will be fulfilled. God gave us an insight of what's going to happen. How many see China rising up? How many see Russia rising up? Both of these nations are prophesied in Scripture that they would arise. How many are seeing every nation that surrounds Israel hate Israel? That's already prophesied. All these things are coming to pass. It's like we're one click away of it all just snowballing. More than ever, it's time to serve the Lord. Here's one of the greatest things that I see missing today. A lot of the church is at ease. We said, hey, we got 6 months. Hey, we got 6 months, then the harvest. I see the church at such ease that there's not a real passion, not a real drive, not a, like a consuming fire saying, man, I need to serve the Lord daily. It's just becoming a casual experience. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, you're saved. Ah, we're on our way to heaven. Come on, we need to seek him again. We need to know him. We need to follow him. A lot of loves have grown cold. Lord, I'm going to stoke that up again. Amen. Do you know Jesus still speaks word like repent? That's still a kingdom of God word. Repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. In this church, I want that to be part of our makeup. That we're quick to repent. We're quick to change. Is this good this evening? All of us have God's commands, don't we? Yes or no? He's given it to us. He's given us freely. The only way they're kept is if they're in our heart and in our soul. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 9, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children when they walk, when they get up, when they sit down, when they lie down, when they rise up. You shall bind them on your hand and write them on the foreskin of your eyelids. Hallelujah. I mean, those keep them on the doorpost. He's speaking everywhere you go. The Lord should be your number one love. Amen? Man, when he's my number one love, how can I miss it? How can I miss when he's my number one love? Throughout all of Scripture, it's commanded. Even Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. He was even confronted with it. Lord, which is the greatest commandments of all? And Jesus was so quick. If you look at the narrative, he almost did it like this. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He had it so much on him that it was such a truth that he brought it forth. Knowing that he just came from his Father in whom he loved, in whom he was loved. Amen? Oh, the great love of God. Your Father loves you so much that he's not willing that any should perish but all come to repentance. But see, there's a place where if you reject him unto death, the Holy Spirit has never worked in your life. That's a sad place to be. It breaks the heart of God to see anyone go to hell. It does. That isn't a glorious thing for him. But he knows that no sin will stand in his presence. He's a holy God. If you reject the only hope of salvation, there is no other one. There is no other way. I mean, he created it all. It's amazing to me how the enemy tries to make a million gods out there. He tries to make a million lords out there. How many knows Jesus said, I am Lord of all. I'm it. Besides me, there is no other. He could swear by no higher, so he swears by himself. I swear by me. Hallelujah. And isn't it amazing that we're so many miles from the sun, yet we don't burn up? Isn't that amazing? Think about all the planets and universes that surround us. Come on. And yet God keeps us and keeps us strong. It's a miracle we're here. And if you think about it, all the generations of sin that all our families have committed over all the years, we're still functioning, which is pretty amazing with the degrading of sin that's in all of us. Amen. God's still Lord. He's still looking over his people. Oh, serve me. Oh, serve me. Serve me with all your heart. Know your God, for there's life in that area. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, says, Now Israel, this is what the Lord requires of you, but to fear the Lord, your God, to walk in his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. I can boil down Christianity right here, that we love him with all our hearts, with all our souls. I used to work for a Jewish company, and they used to have time where they just spent time in the Old Testament as a daily reading. And I remember one time I walked into a meeting. They were having a verse. And I remember a gentleman standing up and says, Oh, hear, O Israel, what does the Lord require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Well, I knew Jesus. I knew the Father. And I remember going, Father, I thank you that you revealed yourself to me through this scripture. It isn't just empty words or hopeful. It's a truth. Lord, let me live this all the days of my life. Amen? Come on, that's us. This was written for us, that we would obey. But when sin enters in, it darkens our heart. We should look to say, God, I don't want this in me. I want to be clean and pure. I want to be able to look deep into your law, find my image. Do you know if the water is clear enough, you can see yourself? Amen? You can see down at the bottom, but you can see you. We also need to look at that like we do in the mirror and say, when I walk away from this mirror, I want to remember what man or woman I am. That's who my character is. We put so much power on our appearance, but very little on our character. Lord, let me have my character to match. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't bathe. Say amen. If you need a bar of soap, we'll help you out there. Amen. But the truth is that we need to work on our insides. Because we may look beautiful outside, but inside we're like ravaging wolves. We need to earnestly obey. In Deuteronomy 11 verse 13, it says that you must earnestly obey the commands today which the Lord your God shall give you. Serve him with all your hearts. Verse 18 in Deuteronomy 11 says this, Therefore lay up my words in your heart and in your soul, bind them on a sign on your hand, put them in front of your eyes. The more I put the word in front of me, the more I walk in that area, the more it helps me. I can't do it without the word of God. Amen. Lord, I need your word. Your word is truth. It's a lamp unto my what? And a light unto my path. I can't see the well-beaten path without a light on. Amen? I remember when we were kids, the neighborhood we lived in, we lived a little outskirts, and there wasn't a lot of street lights. In fact, there was no street lights on my block. And I remember the neighbor had this fence put up. Fence wasn't there before. We used to run between the yards. Well, I was at school, and the fence went up, and I didn't pay much attention when I was a little guy. And I remember we were playing tag. Anybody remember tag when you made your own games up? I remember running full blast, and all of a sudden I run right into the fence. And it was one of those four-foot ones. I flipped right over it. Whoop, boom. And I'm like, oh. Back then, I used to be able to bounce. I remember those days when you'd go, oh, and get up and keep going. And I remember looking back going, who put the fence up? I was kind of mad. How did they put a fence up? This is my running lane right here. It was a neighbor's yard. I had no right to even feel that way. But after a while, I'm thinking, that was really stupid. I don't want to tell anybody. I hope nobody saw I ran into the fence. I mean, it was that there are still boundaries in our Christianity. Had I had a flashlight, I would have saw it. If I'm going to walk in this Christian walk and have not the light of God's word, I'm going to trip over some fences. And I'll end up in a yard I should never be in. Let me have that next step, Lord. Amen? Even if you have to walk slow, if you're the only one with the light, you're the only one know where you're going. Stop beating yourself up if you can't keep up the pace with somebody else. You have the light. Sooner or later, somebody's going to see it. Even in the midst of darkness there. Amen? I remember one time we were snowmobiling up north. And if you've ever gotten to the outskirts up north, sometimes it can get really dark. And back then, we didn't have GPS. We would look at trail markers, we'd look at roads, we'd have these little maps we'd break out. I remember one time it was really late, and it was like, I didn't know where I was. But I found a set of railroad tracks. If you ever find a set of railroad tracks, they will lead you somewhere. They will lead you somewhere. And I remember saying, you know what, I'm going to follow these tracks because sooner or later it's going to run into a house or a town or a gate or a crossing or something. Amen? So I began to follow these tracks, and it seemed like I went for miles. But sooner or later, it led me right into a town. How many knows His Word will lead you right where you need to go? How many knows the Holy Spirit will guide you, even if you feel like you're lost? Somehow God saved you, and look at you now. How did God ever reach you? Look at our backgrounds. Look where we came from. Look at what our experience has been. Yet the Lord is still Lord even in that. Some of us even moved from other states. Look what God has done. Amen? We have to keep our hearts pure in this, because if it becomes an evil heart of unbelief, we start departing from the living God. And woe unto us as Christians if we depart from the one we used to love. Come on. You ever notice when you're in that place, it becomes choice. It's like, man, do I want to go and serve the Lord or not? Nah. I mean, it's coming back is a hard road. But the Lord can keep working on it. Somebody has prayed for you. Make sure you be the one that prays today. If you see somebody that isn't serving the Lord, I don't judge them. I pray for them. Lord, touch them. Lord, even if it's not in my presence, Lord, you're going to work in their life. And that I'm thankful for. God knows. We need to start speaking it before the King. Is this good today? All of us are debtors to the Lord, not to the flesh, or even to live according, but to the Lord. Because if we live according to the flesh, we're going to die. In the flesh dwells no good thing, according to Romans 8:12. But if I crucify those affections and lusts, you know what? I start to walk more pure than ever. The enemy never tries to make me pure, but defiled. Amen? And sin is fun for a season, but then you pay a tremendous price. How many ever felt guilty before out there? I mean, isn't that a terrible feeling? But we need to realize, according to Colossians 3, verse 5, we need to put to death in our members uncleanness, evil passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. It says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience in once we once walked. Put away from anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of our mouth. Don't lie with one another since you put off the old man. All those come from my old nature. But I have a new man which is created after Christ according to the knowledge of Him. That's a good thing. What you never could be, now you can become. It's not do's and don'ts, I shouldn't do this. It isn't in me anymore. I'm going to make sure that area is crucified. Do you know your language can clean up after you've been saved? Isn't that cool? How many knows your language can clean up? Now, you may slip every now and then, but bless God, just, Lord, help me in this area. Usually when you're in pain, you can really find out what's in your heart. Amen? When I smashed my thumb with my hammer twice, I just went, praise the Lord. Amen? I'm glad nothing profane proceeded out of my mouth because my neighbor was right there. Amen? How many of that you start to see, hey, wow, Lord, you're changing me. That's a good thing. Because if we sow to the flesh, of the flesh we reap corruption. But if you spend a little time in the Word of God in prayer, life is flowing to you. How many of us, we need that? I want to have the Word of God so flowing in me, it's life and health to all my flesh. How many want to see that happen? Can it happen? Was Jesus full of the Word? Yes. Then Lord, let me be that. Sometimes we make it harder on ourselves than we have to. Lord, I just want to follow your principles. Walk in your ways, and then it's easier. Christianity shouldn't be a struggle every day. Amen? It shouldn't be like, oh, I get to serve the Lord. And most of us are halfway at least to being there already. True? Amen? I'm going to live to be 168, so I'm not quite halfway there, but bless God. Galatians 6:8 says this, if you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you reap eternal life. Eternal life or corruption? Choose one. I choose life. Choose life that you may live. Every time you pray, every time you study the Word, every time you witness, every time you're in that area, you're sowing life. And it's life eternal. Amen? Sometimes I wish that we had a thing where the flesh could be killed off when you got saved and there was no remembrance of that, but my flesh is still around. The more I serve the Lord, the more I realize how much flesh is there. Even Paul said, the things I don't want to do, I'm still not doing it. Things I should be doing, oh, I still struggle with doing that. But thanks be to God. Somebody say, but thanks be. He gets the victory. Like all of us, we can get the victory. I don't have an obligation to serve the flesh, but the Spirit. I'm not debtor to the flesh, but to the Spirit. So if you sow in those areas, you know what? God will work. I'm like many of you. I'm touched with the same feelings and infirmities of you all. I don't have healing locked up yet, but I'm striving in that area. Amen. That's not a negative confession. That's a true confession. How many want to get that down? Amen? I do. Lord, touch my body. Bring healing virtue. Amen. I want to live. How many want to live? I look today, I need to understand the principles. Now, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many need some life and peace? Today, more than ever, you ever notice the pressures are mounting? Come on. We have people taking their lives over things that they couldn't get a grip on. Amen. We have an epidemic across the board in every area. We have distractions on every area. But how about our God? What's He doing? What's our Lord doing in the midst of all this? God, I'm going to follow you. He's drawing His people home. I'm here to tell you, the bride needs to start looking like the bride. Amen? She needs to make sure she washes her dress. It's ready to go. Amen? I've seen brides get their dress early, kind of put it outfitted on, and neatly put it back in that little sock, the thingamajig, clothing wrap. And then they pull it back out, and they look at it again, and they're like, oh, I just can't say. Sometimes we need to have that anticipation. Now, I'm a dude, and I don't wear dresses. I don't. I don't. There's very little feminine qualities in me. Amen? That's the way it is, okay? But I understand the principle that He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. Hey, I can work with that. I understand that area. Well, I can understand the purity part. Amen? He's not going to marry the harlot. And He's not going to marry an infant. He's going to marry a bride of full age. The bride has made herself ready. It should be our goal. I want this church to be that. That we're striving, Lord, I want to be like you. Come on, I want to be mature in the faith. He's coming for that bride. God's going to bring us some visitations here real soon. A lot of you have sought the Lord for areas that God wants to work in. He's going to bring it to pass. Don't give up on your faith. The enemy is fighting me on every level with distractions. He's fighting me on every level with backbiting. I'm telling you, I know this for a fact. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Keep speaking life and life more abundantly. I know in whom I serve. I'm not ignorant of his devices. Can I just be real straight up with all of you? Yes. There are times in the midnight hour he'll wake me over situations in people's lives. He gives me insight on what's going on that I can pray accordingly. Not that I'm anything special, but he knows he needs to deal with this. Here's a big truth that the church is missing. If we don't deal with it, he's going to deal with it. I'm serious. He doesn't play games when it comes to life. Anyone who tries to drag somebody to hell, there's going to be a fight involved. Come on, it's the Lord here. He visits those who are oppressed. He visits the fatherless and the widows. He visits them. The church needs to be on board with what God wants to do. He doesn't play games with those things. Amen? Come on, God's good. Say, God's good. My whole goal is for this church to grow in the grace and knowledge of his dear son. I have no secondary motives. I don't do this for fleshly reasons. I'm not trying to build some kingdom of mine. I just want to serve the Lord. Amen? My whole goal is well done, good and faithful servant. That's my whole goal in all this. I want to do it accordingly. Say amen. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, and I close here in just a few minutes. Somebody turn to Matthew 7. The New Testament has frequent warnings to those who profess to know God, but show no evidence of it. In Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me what? Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord. Notice that it's a general term. It's a term like out there, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father. For many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Do many great wonders. Then I'll declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that practice lawlessness. How many of those, that's a scary statement. Just because we profess it doesn't mean we're showing the truth of it. Lord, I want to have a confession with the truth that shows it. That what I believe. Lord, didn't I hand out bulletins on Sunday? Yes, you did. Lord, wasn't I an usher or a greeter? Yes, you were. Did I not sing in the choir? Yes, you did. But I never knew you. We never had intimacy at all. You were never born again. You showed works of flesh, but your heart was far from me. I wonder how many ministers will fall in this category. You never knew me, yet you did what you call great exploits. How many is that? We need to have our relationship with him. Could you imagine the Lord saying, depart from me, I never knew you. Can you see how self-deception can be so deep that we think we're even doing the Lord's service? Even the Apostle Paul had this revelation. I persecuted the church. I imprisoned all those who called on that name and went that way. Until I met the Lord. And he said, who are you, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus in whom you persecute. And revelation came. He got his life right. He thought he was doing God's service by persecuting the church, by protecting his Judaism. Yet he was persecuting the one that he's supposed to have been serving. Come on. I marvel at the two gentlemen that hung next to him on the cross, that you could die right next to Jesus and still not call out to him. You could have words like this, you saved others, save us too. And then if somebody turns and says, Lord, remember me when I'm in your kingdom. Think about that proximity. You could look on him, see him breathe, see him cut, and still not turn. The heart is desperately wicked. Who could know? If God's bringing revelation to you, he's showing you the way, thank him for it. So Lord, I want to depart, Lord. I don't ever want an evil heart of unbelief. I'm not going to walk in fear, but I'm going to make sure it's clean. Then the washing of your word washes it out. For me, it's like a continual washing. It isn't a one-time bath, but every time I wash in the Word, another piece of that dirt just comes off. Amen? The more I can see the Lord, the more I can see the Lord. And it's been a process like my whole Christianity. I haven't arrived yet. Lord, I want to be that way. Amen? And then here's what happens. The longer you serve the Lord, the more you realize the telephone pole you just plucked out. Wow. I can finally see people the way I need to see them. In love and concern. So you know what? You got something right there. You might want to just do that. Isn't that a good friend? Amen? A couple of months ago, probably a year ago, I preached. You know what? If I got a boogie hanging out of my nose, be mindful to say, hey, Pastor, you might want to just do that. Say amen. Amen. Don't let me go up front in front of everyone. How many of us ever be a good friend? Yes or no? How many of us sometimes that we can get in a place where we may need a little assistance? If you're dragging toilet paper on your shoes, maybe somebody go, hey, hold on just a second. Yes or no? That's a good friend. Come on, we need to be our brother's keeper. Not judgmental, not laugh and chuckle because we don't care, but say, hey, look, you might want to deal with that. Amen? Yeah. Amen? How many knows anything can happen? You could rip your dress coming out of the car. Nope. True? Come on, it's the truth, right? Is this good today? Come on. As you obeyed, Lord, Jesus said this in Philippians 2, as you've obeyed not only in my presence, how much more in my absence. I want to have that testimony that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God works in you his good pleasure. I love it when I hear on Monday, you're still serving the Lord. Come on, that's a great thing. Tuesday, you're still serving the Lord. God's doing this here. Hey, God's working on this here. That's a good thing. Sundays need to be a place where we can reflect with one another. This is what the Lord does. Amen? Come on, you have revelation knowledge. I want to know it. I want to hear it. God's good. Oh, that's awesome. Our God is so good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Amen? How many need to keep your heart pure? Amen? How are you going to strive for that? Put to practice what you've learned. How many want to be an inferno, just not a little fire?
Amen. Yeah.
I want to be that too. Our God's a consuming fire. Lord, let me get so close. Hallelujah. I've learned this. When I become one with the fire, I never get burnt.
Amen.
Our God's a consuming fire. Lord, let me be that hot. If I come across people that are cool, I got a chance to witness to my father yesterday. My wife and I were visiting him. He has a birthday coming up, so we brought him a cake and sung him happy birthday in our best terrible voices. He didn't care. But I said, Dad, I go, look, you're getting older and it's a reality here. You need to keep looking more towards the eternal side of your life now. And he really kind of, you ever had that little boop? It was one of those boop moments. And I could see it in his mind. It's true. He says, I had a dream that I saw your mother in heaven. God's working on him. Amen? I said, then Dad, you want to see her again? He's that close. That even in his dreams, God's speaking a word. Hallelujah. So keep praying for my father. He has spared his life so many times. For a time like that. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish. Let's saturate our families with such prayer. But let us be the example. Church, will you be the example? Every one of us. We need to be that example. We need to take what the Lord said. Love him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Teach me God. Sometimes it's easy to love the Lord and hard to love the people. But Lord, I'm going to love the people too. With the love that you've given me. Amen. Enjoy tonight.
Yes.
And if you would lift your hands towards heaven, I want to bless you. Father, a blessing. A blessing on this congregation in the name of Jesus. Lord,